Our sermon this morning comes from Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded as a testimony to them. But the news about him was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Pray with me. Father, help us now as we look at your word. Help us to see and perceive what is taking place here. What you are announcing to us. Help us to receive it and know it and to throw off every vain speculation that is raised up against the knowledge of you and to take every thought captive to the mind of Christ Jesus, that we will see rightly, that we will think rightly, that we will love rightly, and that you will be glorified in our lives. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as Christ walks through this city, and Christ, we will remember, is perfect. Perfect in his affection for God. Perfect in his affection for everyone that he came into contact with and for everyone that would be his. He was the picture of being clean. In contrast to this perfect picture of cleanliness, this perfect picture of godliness demonstrated, love for God demonstrated, love for his neighbors demonstrated. This was his perfection, not in the way he looked, but in the ways that he loved. This other picture comes onto the scene. This other picture, his head is uncovered, probably his hair hanging down and greasy and oily. His clothes have been torn. He's got an outbreak all over his face, all over his hands, all over his feet. Everything that you can see is disgusting. He comes before Christ, and his posture is this. He falls down on his knees and says, Master, if you are willing, you can make me clean. We look at this picture as Christ reaches out and doesn't just gesture towards him, but he actually lays his hand on him and says, I am willing. Be cleansed. Now, as we deal with the things that make us unclean, it's not just the skin infection that would make us unclean. It is, again, it's our hearts that demonstrate that we are unclean. That everything that flows from us, everything that doesn't demonstrate love for our God and keeping his commandments, everything that does not show a commitment to one another's eternal good, is this expression that we don't actually love one another. This is why Psalm 51 has been given to us. Although David had been in this great transgression, James 2:10 shows us that if we stumble in one area of the law, we have stumbled in all of them. So we move forward and we come forward in our Christian lives and we are seeing ourselves, if we examine the scripture, as we are, with hearts that are marred. Hearts with a deep black vein that runs through them, where our sin flows from. Now this distinction is made in our lives, and God makes this distinction between the people that are his and the people that aren't. The people that love Christ, those who call on him, they're his. Those people who are not calling on Christ are not his. and the wrath of God remains on them. Now, through the course of our lives, when we've come to the place where we call on the name of the Lord, when we trust in Christ alone for our salvation, we are made to be God's, His possession. But there's still a work that continues from the place of our justification, from our being made His. And that is what we call the work of sanctification. That God continues to work in us, enabling us to say no more and more to ungodliness and being conformed more and more into the image of Christ. So we look, and if you have never trusted in Christ, today could be the day of salvation. As you see, I have sinned. I have fallen short of the glory of God. That God's holiness and His justice looms over me. And that can be put in terms of His wrath looms over me. And if I were to die today, I would be thrown into the fires of hell. For those of us who are already trusting in Christ, we still look and we see we need washed. A work to be done in our hearts. That He would work. That He would make us new. That He would continue to cleanse us. So the call for each of us this morning is to keep being healed. And to testify about the work of Christ in our lives. Our first step, number one, is recognize your uncleanness. Luke 5:12, for he was in one of the cities. Behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and imploring him said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. A striking point about this is the extent of his leprosy. It says, covered with leprosy. Another way to translate the same word would be full of leprosy. Now the topic, as it was being discussed in Leviticus 13, 1 through 3, they would be looked at and the infection would be examined. And it says if it went deeper than the skin and the hair had turned white, it was leprosy. Well, if this man is being diagnosed or it's being said that he's covered with or he is full of leprosy, what would that look like? What would that be for him? Many of us, perhaps if we look in the mirror in the morning and we've got a big blemish on the end of our nose, we would think, I'd rather not go out today. I know I think I would rather not stand before the assembly today if I've got a large blemish on the end of my nose. If we have an outbreak or a rash on our faces, most of us would rather stay home if we do not look well. This man is in that place, and more so. He is in that place with a rash, a sickness, a disease that goes deeper than his skin, and he is covered with it. As this man walks along, and perhaps you have been in the situation where you've walked into a place and people look at you and then they look the other way and they would rather avoid you. None of us like that experience. That's hard on all of us when people don't want to be around us. This man has been put into the place where he has to walk around, he has to keep his head uncovered, his clothes have been torn. Who of us wants to walk around with noticeably torn clothes? Anybody over 20 probably doesn't. But here this man comes in on the scene with his noticeably torn clothes, his hair uncovered, and he has to cover his mustache. He puts his hand over his mouth, and he has to announce how disgusting he is. Unclean, he has to shout. Unclean. He is saying to everyone who comes around him, I am a threat to you. I am filthy. I am unapproachable because of these marks that are on his body. Now he comes in with this attitude. He comes in displaying himself in this way. And we see how bad the situation goes. It goes so bad, as we looked at in Leviticus 13, that he had to actually move out. He had to leave the city, and he had to live alone. For those of us who have ever felt isolated like that, some of us have felt isolated like that by our own sin. Some of us have felt isolated like that by the culture or the society we're in, removed from. the culture, removed from the society. We have felt isolated. Some of us have felt as if we couldn't express ourselves or our own hearts because we would be judged so harshly if we told anyone how sinful or wicked we have been. Some of us haven't even been able to express our own thoughts. Well, we look and we see and connect these ideas. Again, Matthew 15:19, that it's the overflow of our hearts that make us unacceptable. It comes from our innermost being. We see in Numbers 5:2 that the leper was to be cast away. And here's why. It's in Numbers 5:3. You shall send away both the male and the female. You shall send them outside of the camp so that they will not defile the camp where I dwell in their midst. So take that connection. They are being removed from the place where God dwells in their midst. It's not just an isolation from the culture or the town. It's seen as an isolation from God. So small wonder when the leper comes forward. And the same idea is put forward in 1 Corinthians 5:13. But those who are outside, God judges. And we're given the statement, remove the wicked man from among yourselves. And this is our picture of church discipline. When someone will not repent, they also are removed from the assembly. They're removed from the role of the church. They are excommunicated in accordance with Scripture. So we see this separation. And now most of us, or maybe some of us, will say, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. You can't see me as that bad. You can't call me that bad. Isaiah 64:6 answers it. For all of us, all of you, you as individuals, for all of us have become like one who is unclean. That picture of the leper, full of leprosy, is the picture of you. As an individual, all of us have become like one who is unclean. And all of our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. A filthy garment. Can you think of one? For those of you who maybe teenage boys, or those of us who act like them, maybe you've been in your room and you thought, is this my cleanest dirty shirt? And have you picked it up and have you smelled it? And if you're like me, you have recoiled and you have thrown it across the room to get it as far away from you as possible. All of our righteous deeds, going to church, serving as an officer, doing good for the widow, doing good for the orphan, as these are called true and undefiled religion. Even those high deeds could just be filthy rags before God when they are done with the wrong posture and the wrong attitude. So this brings us to our second step, which is give up on yourself. There's a popular slogan, huh? Give up on yourself. Luke 5:12. While he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered or full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face. What's it take to fall on your face? What's it take? I've been in a couple of services. Recently, it had been told to me that when Pastor Robeson was here and he met with John Schaefer, and they had come together, and Eastvale had been without a pastor for so long, and the way the story goes, they got together and they got down on their knees and they prayed for Eastvale. Why is it so hard to do that? Why is it so hard or awkward to get down on our knees? I've been in a family worships where at the time when it's time to pray, the family has dismounted their couch. They have turned around. They have gotten on their knees and they've prayed. I've had the inclination to do that. There's some hang up in me? Why is it so hard to get down on our knees with other people? Well, we look here and we see the posture of the man whose full uncleanness has been manifested to himself and to everyone around him. At that point, he saw the great need in himself to get down on his knees before Christ himself, who is the full representation and the full glory of God himself. Another way to say this, give up on yourself, would be to posture yourself to be healed. Where we see that the things that we can do don't save us. None of us will be rescued by the strength of our own arm. None of us will be rescued by our own righteous deeds. None of us will be rescued by our goodness. I ran into a man who does roofs. And we were talking about roofs. And he said, "Oh yeah, I know your church." He said, "I think I'm fixing your church roof." And I asked, "Are you?" Because I didn't know. I hadn't heard that. And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "In Eastvale." And he said, "Oh, outside of Eastvale." I said, "No, that's not mine." And he said, "Oh, I'm fixing that church roof for free." I said, that's great. Very good. And he said, "Maybe I could help you with your roof." I said, "Maybe." And he said, "I'm trying to save my soul." And I said, "Well, you know that won't do it. You can't put a free roof on a church and imagine that saves your soul. You can't do a good thing and imagine that it saves your soul. There is a humility that has to come, a humility that says, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't save myself." It's like going rappelling where you're walking backwards off of a cliff and you've got the harness and you've got the mechanism. How stupid is it to say, "I got this. I don't need that. I can do this myself. I can walk backwards off of a cliff without a rope and a harness and a mechanism." To imagine that we save ourselves and to put any trust in your works, the things that you do, the good things that you do, is to say that, "I got this. I can walk off this cliff backwards and I can do this myself." The man's posture is, he fell on his face and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me well." And this brings us to our third step, and that's plead with him to heal you. Do we wander along in our sicknesses? That is, do we wander along with our sin? Do we keep trying just to make ourselves better or to make ourselves more acceptable rather than asking him to heal us? It's a scary place when you have to say, "I'm hanging here on this cliff and I can't do it." The more intimately we've been involved with one another, the more we worry about our own abilities, the more responsibilities we take upon ourselves, the more we worry. Because we see, "I can't do it. And if you won't do it, I'm lost. I am lost." So it comes, and it'll come in the place of prayer for us, as we would speak to God, as we would confess our sins to him, knowing that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our own sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is a work to be accomplished and we must ask him for that. This brings us to our fourth step, and this is trust his willingness and desire. So he makes the statement to Jesus, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." It's this amazing place that he has been put into already. Far as we know, the Lord's Prayer has not been distributed yet, but there's already this idea in him that it depends on God's will, what he will accomplish. If you are willing, you can make me clean. And we've got this great demonstration. And he stretched out his hand and touched him. The narrative goes into a slow motion then. It's not just he touched him or he put his hand on him, but he stretched out his hand and he touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And then the picture, and immediately the leprosy left him. So this man, covered with, full of disease, full of all of that which made him unacceptable, unapproachable, completely rejected, out of the community, immediately made clean and acceptable. It is the touch of Christ. It is his power that changes us and transforms us. Now, this taking place, that this Jesus fixing him immediately, I'm going to fly back to Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground. This picture of God doing this work, having made him. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and he placed the man there, and it brings out the idea again, the man whom he had formed. Go ahead and take that ownership on yourself for a moment. You are the man, you are the woman that God has formed. He has formed you, he has made you, he has put you together. So we come from that place, and if we explore that word, though, the forming, it's a very skillful and careful work of a craftsman. You are the very skillful and craftful work of a craftsman. You can fly to Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship. Again, that Greek word was poema, his workmanship or his poem. You are his careful work that he has put together as a craftsman. You are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. So you live in this place where a great craftsman has formed you. And then when we're broken, what do we need? When we're distorted, when we're twisted, and we can even say when we're perverted in our life, what do we need? But we need that great craftsman. And we'll look at the language in verse 12, and I'm going to focus on this just a little. He said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This idea of being made, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand, and he touched him. Revelation 2:15, he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Can you take that and have him apply that to your heart? Behold, I am making all things new. We are being renewed in holiness into the image of Christ. This is why in Psalm 51:10, David, being carried along by the Holy Spirit, says, create in me a new heart. Make me new. Make me clean. And this is all in accordance with his will and his desire. I can, I will, and I am making all things new. Now, this is being accomplished for a number of reasons. One is because he loves you. He loves you. He wants good things for you. He wants you clean. He wants you acceptable. He wants you near him. He wants you, and this is the next part of it, reflecting his power and his glory. And this is our fifth step. Make your healing a testimony to his power. We're not just good or we're not just better because honesty is the best policy or it's smarter to be good. Luke 5:14 and 15, and he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, as a testimony to them. But the news about him was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. In that time frame and that point, it wasn't time for that full testimony to go out. You know when that time was? You know when that time is? Now. Now. That testimony to his power is now. We've been talking in Sabbath school, and somebody used the language that we're kind of weirdos in this world. in the workforce where we live, in the workforce where we labor, if we don't complain every day, all day, we're strange. If our language isn't foul, we are strange. We are a peculiar people in this world. We see and look and know that the work that God has been and is doing in us is for the purpose of a testimony. And isn't that what we look and we want to see? But the news about him was spreading even farther, and the crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Have you been healed? Are you being healed? Does that make you different? Does it make it different than the culture? Does it make you different from the world around you? Does it make your practices different? It's supposed to. As we, you would be walking in footsteps of life and of truth, where the rest of the world is walking in footsteps of death and deception. And you have been saved for this very purpose, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So Matthew 5:16 says it this way: let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That only happens with an act of testimony. If you're just good, and people just look at you and see your goodness and see that you're odd, and that isn't accompanied with the testimony that God has done a work and is doing a work, and I would even grab that and tie it to the gospel, that I'm sinful, that God is holy, God has sent his one and only Son to take the penalty for my sin. He was resurrected from the dead, and he has called me to new life. It's the testimony to the goodness and the healing that God is doing. And we would look then to see, as the news spreads even farther and farther, we would look to see large crowds gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Now let's take a moment and think about the times where people have designated us as different, where they've actually seen it, and they've actually commented on it. Have they been told how you have been healed? Is the testimony being given? If not, it's small wonder that we have so many empty pews and we have so much space. A work has been done in you for a testimony about him, that the word about him will spread more and more, so that many will come to hear him and be healed. We must look and see, are we being faithful with the testimony that we have been given? God has been patient with us. He has been merciful towards us. He is giving us the opportunity to repent as far as we need to tell about his mercies, to tell about his excellencies, to tell about the great work that he has done. Now, this sin of not testifying is like all the rest of our sins, and it is a sin that he will heal when we ask him to, where he will strengthen us, where we ask him to. He is willing. And it is his purpose that his gospel will be proclaimed throughout the land, that many will see and fear and put their trust in Christ. This is where we are called to keep being healed, to testify about him. Let's pray for God to do this work. Our God, we thank you for the work that you have done so far. We thank you for the greatest work that you have sent your Son to die for our sins. You have sent your Holy Spirit to convict us of sin and of righteousness and of salvation. Father, this morning, do not let us escape where we have been silent and where we have kept your glory for ourselves and haven't spoken about Jesus and his resurrection and the great work that you do in your healing. God, convict us of sin. May we not be numb, Lord, but may we faithfully turn to you. And now, even now, we call on you to heal us and to make us faithful to testify about your healing power in Christ Jesus. Lord, and we ask that you would bring many to hear you and to be healed. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.